This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
BlackBerry is back in the black.
Let Marketplace be your guide to the modern world. Subscribe to the Marketplace Tech Report podcast. Find it on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in New York, hello, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Midday Update for Thursday, the 28th of March. BlackBerry today posted a surprise profit for the last quarter. The Canadian company, which used to be called Research in Motion, has been struggling to stay relevant in the smartphone market. But let's not call this a turnaround just yet. Marketplace's Queena Kim has the story from San Francisco.
Okay, before I play the wet rag here, let's give BlackBerry its moment. The company's been taking a beating on Wall Street because sales of its smartphones has slowed, and it posted a loss in the first three quarters of the fiscal year. John Butler is a telecom analyst at Bloomberg Industries, and he says analysts didn't expect the fourth quarter to be much different.
BlackBerry did surprise the street. What they did is they sold 1 million BlackBerry 10 phones, and it only shipped in the last month of the quarter.
That's the company's newest comeback phone. Chris Silva is an analyst at the Altimeter Group. He says initial sales are hopeful, but the BlackBerry 10 has a lot to prove.
It's definitely too early to call it a comeback. It's not nearly the ground that they need to make up. There's still a long road ahead of them.
Silva says BlackBerry lost customers last year, and so success doesn't mean making up ground, but adding to it. And today's news didn't quite do that. In San Francisco, I'm Queena Kim for Marketplace.
Banks in Cyprus have reopened this morning for the first time in 2 weeks. There are tough restrictions, though, on just how much cash customers can withdraw and what they can do with that money once they have it. The BBC's Nigel Cassidy is in Nicosia, Cyprus, and he joins us now. Good morning.
Good morning to you.
Well, so what's the latest now that the banks have reopened?
Well, it is calm here now. There were some quite lively scenes, shall we say, outside the banks, particularly in the capital, Nicosia. Been a few false dawns. Finally, they got open after closing on the 15th of March. And although there were notices posted on the doors telling people under what circumstances and how much money they could take out, clearly it's not good enough for many people. I talked to one lady who got marooned here from the US. She's going to have to go back to the bank every day to get 300 euros out, which is the limit, until she's got enough to go home. And lots of other stories, a woman brandishing a salary check, but the banks still aren't cashing checks.
Do the people that you have been speaking to in Cyprus feel that this was the right thing to do, that of all the choices that they've had in the last couple of weeks, that this one was the one that made the most sense?
Well, I think in their heart of hearts, they know that they couldn't go on with these two vastly overblown banks distorting the economy. But the manner in which it's been done, imposed all over, you know, basically in one sort of fell swoop, they deeply resent that. But in a way, the island economies are a little bit like that. There is the tendency to kind of look abroad and maybe blame people in other places. I mean, this was not a very fine set of decisions, I think, the market feels by the European community. But they were worried about contagion. And I guess the only thing is, it may be that they haven't actually stopped that.
And Nigel, as a reporter covering this, were you surprised that there weren't, raucous bank runs going on, that people have remained, at least by all reports, pretty calm this morning?
Well, do you know, I wasn't. I was talking about this with a colleague yesterday, and I said, you know, I think it's going to be relatively calm for the simple reason that those with the most to lose, who've got huge accounts, the overseas residents, I mean, their money is locked up at the moment. They're probably going to be losing about 40% of it. These are not the kind of people who wait in line outside a bank to get 300 euros.
Right.
So in many ways, the losers are hidden.
The BBC's Nigel Cassidy in Nicosia, Cyprus. Thank you so much.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Do you enjoy the music we play between stories? Visit the Marketplace Music section to browse playlists for all of our programs and to buy those songs on Amazon. A percentage of each purchase goes towards supporting our programs. Find more online at marketplace.org/music.
The leaders of four African nations will meet with President Obama in Washington today. One of the topics on the agenda is trade and investment in Africa, an area where the U.S. may be falling behind China. Marketplace's Jeff Tyler reports.
The leaders meeting with President Obama come from Malawi, Cape Verde, Sierra Leone, and Senegal. John Campbell with the Council on Foreign Relations says these aren't economic heavyweights, but they stand out for their strides in good governance.
Over time, that is going to improve the business climate, and that in turn is likely to lead to a growth in the economic relationship.
For the most part, the U.S. looks to Africa for oil and commodities. China wants those things, too. It's also investing by building things like roads and factories. Mwangi Kiminye at the Brookings Institution says America's importance in Africa has diminished in recent years.
This is a big mistake on the side of the United States because Africa has changed. It has a lot of new opportunities. The business climate has improved.
He says that competition from both China and the U.S. would benefit Africa, forcing business contracts to be more transparent. That would mean less corruption and more benefit for the average African. I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
And finally to Finland, where one hotel is looking for a professional sleeper. They want someone who will sleep in their rooms for 35 days to test them out and then write about the experience. The job posting requires the person to speak Finnish and English fluently, and hopefully Russian too. Insomniacs need not apply. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.